collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone. Touchdown. Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking with the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to Collegiately Speaking as we get ready for Big Ten Conference play. Dave Ennett joined by former Wildcat quarterback Dan Persa. We come your way every week to talk about Northwestern and college football and a great time of year as Big Ten season gets underway with a twist. It's a little bit different, Dan, this time around. I mentioned during the game the other night, I said, when I started doing these games, the Big Ten was the Big Ten. That was it. And then 1993, Penn State came in, and then 2011, Nebraska, and then about 3 years later, Rutgers and Maryland. And now you've got the Big Four from out west, and the Wildcats will play the first Big Ten game ever involving the Washington Huskies. That's historic and kind of cool.
It's going to be a great atmosphere. I think all the players are really looking forward to it. But this is the time of year that's the most exciting, right? The rubber starts to meet the road with teams across the country. While some teams play some tougher non-conference games, most, kind of warm up in the non-conference. And then, late September, early October, the Big Ten and other schedules kind of ramp up and you see who's a real contender versus pretenders.
Well, the Wildcats tuned up with a 31-7 win over Eastern Illinois on Saturday at Northwestern Medicine Field, another game under the lights. This one went better than the previous one did. And again, I know this has been talked about a lot over the last several days, a slow start for Jack Lausch in his first start. But man, once he kind of figured it out, once that light went on, he was lights out from that point on, which kind of sounds like a contradiction in terms, I guess. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think all the Wildcat fans were looking around and didn't want to say the quiet part out loud. Just say, did we make the right decision with Jack? Because he really struggled. I think he started to settle in once he worked on some run plays and had some better throws. And then the last drive, the 2 minute drive, going into halftime, he really seemed to settle in. And he knows this, right? His feet were a little happy early. He looked a little kind of juiced up, which it's understandable, right? He's a young guy, first start. I think, Northwestern is fortunate it was against Eastern Illinois, because I think if this Washington game was his first start, that game could have got a, three touchdown lead pretty quickly, right? So, I think it's encouraging. He's going to continue to improve. The only way to improve as a quarterback, while no one likes to admit this, is game time, right? While you can sharpen things up in practice, the only thing that makes you better is playing in games. So I'm excited to see his development. It'll certainly be a tough schedule, and starting with Washington this weekend.
One thing that I was really impressed by, if you look at stats, and again, you can make anything of them you would like, but pretty balanced. I mean, both passing and running, they ran for over 200 yards in the game. They passed for almost 250 yards in the game. But we've seen a lot of games in which it's been pretty lopsided one way or the other. And that was not the case on Saturday. They ran the ball well. They had a lot of guys handle the ball. And they also threw the ball around to a bunch of different receivers. You had A.J. Henning leading the way with 7. But they had, nine guys catch passes in that game?
Yeah, I think Coach Lujan did a really good job of kind of opening up the playbook a little bit more. I think my biggest critique the first couple of weeks was just not moving the pocket with Mike Wright and then Jack Lausch. But, in the second half, he started to throw more bubble screens, easy completions, kind of get him on the edge and give him that run-pass option, which I think Jack really, thrives in, right? And I think once his feet kind of settled down, he made great decisions, and it was fun to see AJ get going because it was a little choppy with him and Mike with the first two games. So, no, I agree. I think, as the Big Ten continues to play out, you're going to need a lot of guys contributing. You're going to have some injuries. I think it's at this point that Cam Porter and our guy number 6 should get the majority of the carries. Komolafe is a really talented guy. I just think he looks a little rusty or a little bit tentative. And I think the lion's share of the carries should go to those two guys, going forward, and hopefully that happens. But it's an encouraging sign for the offense. And, you know, they're going to need to continue to improve as well.
Well, Cam Porter carried the ball three times as many times as Joseph Hyman on Saturday night. But the yardage was fairly close between the two of them, mainly because Joe Hyman hit a couple longer runs, including the 32-yarder that really ended up putting them ahead in the game. I think the 32-yard touchdown put them ahead to stay. But Cam Porter looks great. Hyman looks great. And Lausch, when he runs the football,
yeah,
he's got, I said this last week, he's got Dan Persa's speed.
He looks like he has Dan Persa's stubbornness, too, because he can't take that many hits. I text him after the game, like, you got to get down. Like, you're not going to last in the Big Ten, putting your head down in the middle, in between the tackles. And I think he understands that. But for, you know, the first game, he's so jacked up and just wants, you know, contact. But no, I agree. I think Cam Porter and Hyman are a great 1-2 punch. They're different runners, and I think it gives a kind of an off-balance look to the defense. And Joe Hyman just can do so many things out of the backfield, catching the ball, jet sweeps. He's a huge asset.
Let's talk about the defense. And again, I know that this was not the greatest challenge that this defense is going to face. They'll face a much tougher one on Saturday. But they were facing a quarterback who's played an awful lot, even though it was at a different level. And they controlled him. They put pressure on him. They continue to pressure opposing quarterbacks. 9 sacks, fourth in the Big Ten, 21st nationally, and the rushing defense continues to be just smothering. They allowed only 40 yards on the ground against Eastern Illinois, and they are sixth in the nation, only giving up 70-some yards a game on the ground. And that is a significant improvement if you go back to last year. And it wasn't just Saturday. I mean, we've seen this. If you take one game, Dan, you can say, okay, that's not indicative. But this has been, it's a trend. I mean, it's not just the one game.
I think watching Xander play is really fun. You know, seeing how he's improved throughout his career and how smart he is, right? The front four, you know, they're rotating so many guys in and out, so they're keeping those linebackers clean. And Xander just seems to always be in the right place, which is fun to watch. And that's gonna continue to need that with Big Ten rushing. But I think, you know, the D-backs are tackling well. You know, there's a couple drives that Eastern had that they, you know, made some nice plays and scored a touchdown. But outside of that, I think they only had, 200 yards total offense. So, you know, really good outing again for those guys. And I think it's building their confidence, and they'll need it going into the Big Ten season.
Cats had 3 sacks in the game, and 2 of them were from guys who had never had a sack in a game before. Michael Kilbane, the sophomore, and also Dylan Roberts had one. That was in the fourth quarter, I believe. But then there's also Aiden Hubbard. We had a chance to catch up with the Wildcats All Big Ten honorable mention edge rusher from a year ago. And Aiden Hubbard joined us to talk about where things are with this team.
4-man rush for the Cats. Here's the snap. Tagovailoa now under some pressure, steps up, trying to get away. Oh. And now he's sacked. Sacked on the play at the 36-yard line. Aiden Hubbard. Second down and 3. Holly looks it over. Snap to Holly. Fakes the give. Sacked on the play. Aiden Hubbard gets there first. Jalen Pate comes over to help out the Wildcats with their 7th sack of the year.
Number 91 of the Wildcats. Joining us now, collegiately speaking, it's Aiden Hubbard, junior defensive lineman out of Cleveland, Ohio. St. Ignatius picked up his first sack of the season Saturday in the win over Eastern Illinois. As you just heard, Aiden, thanks for taking some time to be with us. Dave Ennett here with Dan Persa. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today, guys.
You bet. I would imagine, Aiden, guys are pretty fired up this week coming off the win and getting ready to open Big Ten play this weekend.
That's correct. We're all fired up and ready to get on the road. It'll be a fun trip.
9 sacks through 3 games for this defense, tied for 15th in the nation, from 8 different players, including yourself, and you have the 6th best run defense in the country, 57 yards a game. Give us the quick thumbnail on what's made this defense so good so far this year.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to the fundamentals, Dave. Coach McGargle preaches it every day, just in our team meetings and defensive unit meetings, is just the fundamental things like tackling and getting takeaways, and it's showing up, as you can see, on Saturdays.
Yeah, no question about that. And your group, Jalen, Najee, Sean McLaughlin, R.J. Pearson, Carmine, who's been out. But how about Anto Saka? How do you describe what he's like to be around?
Oh, it's great. I mean, he's getting pressure almost every play he's in, and it builds the energy in the room, and we all feed off it, and it helps us all make plays together.
You had your coming out party last year against Maryland, 3 sacks. Only one player in Northwestern history has had more than that in a game. That was Afadi. You were the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. What are your memories of that game and having it come against a really dangerous quarterback in Tagovailoa?
Yeah, I mean, it was just another Saturday, and got to get after the quarterback, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, running around all over the place chasing Tagovailoa, and I mean, it was hard to get down, but it was a lot of fun, and it was a great win.
Describe the feeling after a sack for you, Aiden. I mean, when you get home, what's it like? Is it the equivalent of a guy scoring a touchdown on offense for you to get a sack?
I'd say it's pretty close. I mean, I obviously haven't scored a touchdown in college, but if I remember correctly from when I was younger, it feels pretty good because they're hard to come by. And when you do get home, you feel the emotion take over, and it reminds you why you love the game.
We're talking with Aiden Hubbard of the Wildcats. They get set to take on Washington this weekend. Who are some of the guys, either college or guys you've watched in the NFL, that you try to emulate, or are there any?
Yeah, I'd say there's got a few guys I like to watch. Obviously, the Bosas, they're always making plays. And then Max Crosby for the Raiders, he's just relentless in his pass rush. And I try to implement some of their stuff into my game, but obviously it's hard to do that because those guys are the top of the top.
Well, let's talk about your D-line coach, Christian Smith. How would you describe him? Pretty intense?
He can get intense when he wants to, but for the most part, he's pretty laid back, and it kind of helps us. His coaching style is what has helped us evolve over the past 2 years.
Well, how about your D coordinator? I know he's intense, Tim McGarvey.
Yeah, he's been great. I mean, it's been a seamless transition from Coach Braun, mainly working with the defense last year, to now it's mainly Coach McGarvey. And like I said earlier, the key things he hones in on every day, TNT, which is a tackling and takeaway, it's showing up, and he just preaches that every day.
Yeah, and you like when you hear that song, right? You guys get in there on it.
That's a blast.
Let's go back to your high school days. St. Ignatius, great program in Cleveland, nationally known. You had a lot of offers coming out. What ultimately led you to Evanston?
Yeah, I think it was just the combination of a top 10 university and like a top 10 football program. And being in the Big Ten, it's what I dreamed of playing in. And I'm just lucky to have the opportunity.
Which teammate on the offensive line gives you the most trouble? Or do any of them?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a battle going against those guys every day, and we get each other better. I'd say Caleb Tiernan on the offensive line is probably the best look we get on a daily basis, and we both get each other better, so it's a lot of fun.
All right. Before I let you go here, what is going to be the key to coming out of Washington with a W this week?
Coach has been preaching it all week. It's going to be getting that ball out and punching the ball, creating takeaways for our offense.
Well, it's something that you guys, going back to last year, you were good then, and you've been good so far this year, coming up with turnovers, more picks so far than fumble recoveries, but hopefully that continues. And this is the first time for a lot of us around the program that we've been out there to see a game. It's supposed to be a great environment, and I guess that's the kind of environment you look for when you come play in the Big Ten, right?
Definitely is. It's funny, we were practicing in the indoor today, and they had the just crowd noise blasting. You could hardly hear the guy next to you. So it's going to be a loud environment. But like you said, it's what we thrive on and look forward to.
Aiden, it's been fun watching you play. I appreciate you taking some time to be with us today. Good luck Saturday at Husky Stadium, and we'll catch up with you later on this season. Appreciate it, bud.
Awesome. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. That's Aiden Hubbard of the Wildcats. All right, good to catch up with Aiden. And, boy, he's off to a great start. Had the big game, as I talked about, with him, the three sacks last year against Maryland. But this team spreads it around, and, I mean, that's what's really encouraging. Carmine Bastone hasn't played yet. He's a co-captain. He had a great year last year. I think the expectations are, the indication from David Braun this week was that they were very hopeful he'd be able to play in this game this week.
Yeah, Aiden's playing great. I think the thing that sticks out about him is his experience and his motor, right? He's almost like a Tyler Scott, like a nonstop motor that is going to continue to play well and you know, rise in kind of national influence and in the publications. But yeah, I think getting Carmine back is huge, right? You know, as you get into these bigger offensive lines and these tougher teams, you need, you know, a shift to come in and out. And I think Carmine hopefully has fresh legs and there's not too much recovery, but getting him back is huge.
And let's mention one other play in the game. And that was Najee Story blocking the field goal. And it came after Northwestern had a field goal blocked. I had never seen it before where teams on consecutive possessions had field goals blocked back to back. And that was a huge play, because from that point on, that game completely changed.
Yeah, I think in the first quarter, in the first half, Eastern was driving the ball, right? And it's not like, you know, Northwestern kept them in their own territory the whole time. I think there was, you know, the touchdown drive, and they had the turnover on downs, and then, you know, the blocked field goal was huge, and then that kind of set off the momentum. But I think Najee's playing great. He's a stout guy in the middle. He's getting a lot of pressure, and again, he's keeping Xander very clean. That's very apparent.
Well, they're going to need those guys this week against Washington. The Huskies, coming off the loss to Washington State, they opened up with wins over Weber State and Eastern Michigan. And, of course, they had a chance to win this game. There was an option call. Kind of sound a little familiar to what the Wildcats went through against Duke. But and that's a rivalry game. But, you know, everybody kind of is going to kick things up. It's their first time in the Big Ten, but it's not their first time playing a conference game. What's different with this team, Dan, as good as they were last year, and of course they played for the national championship, they only have two starters returning off of last year's team. They've pretty much completely turned over the roster in a lot of areas.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the world we live in right now with the transfer portal and NIL. So I think it makes, you know, evaluating different teams, especially early in the season, a little bit tougher. As we talked about, they have a lot of players from Arizona, so hopefully they can pull back on some tape there. And Jed Fish is a guy that's been around forever, right? He's about as experienced of an offensive mind as you're going to find in college football. So I think they're going to figure it out. Will Rogers, is again a funny tie to Mike Wright competing for playing time at Mississippi State, but I think he's going to have a great year. He's an experienced guy. So they're going to be tough, and I think the Cats are about 10-point underdogs. So this is no cakewalk, but I think they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, a great atmosphere, 70,000 strong at Husky Stadium. And look, it's another tough place to play in the Big Ten, and when the Wildcats go out to play in the Rose Bowl in a few years against UCLA or go to Eugene, I mean, they'll see, you know, it's a different deal, but these are still tough places. They've played at Iowa. They'll play at Michigan this year. And there's a lot of tough places around college football.
Yeah, it's kind of more of the same, right? That's why they fit so well with the Big Ten. You know, I think the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum have had a little bit of up and down attendance. But like you said, Eugene and Washington have been, you know, well attended for a long time. They're huge home field advantages. And mm-hmm. I think Northwestern hasn't played on the road yet. So I think watching how they adjust to the crowd noise and communication and adversity, especially when 70,000 strong are cheering loud, how they respond to that.
All right, well, let's get to the highlight of every time we get together here on Collegiately Speaking, and that, of course, Super Joe's predictions.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
The good news about starting 0-3 is that those that are fading Super Joe's super picks are 3-0. So that's great for them. I'm really happy about that. Before getting to this week's pick, did you happen to see the quarterback matchup in the Oklahoma State-Utah game this week? Alan Bowman, the Cowboys QB, celebrated his 24th birthday back in March, while the Ute signal caller Cam Rising turned 25 in May. For comparison's sake, they're both older than the quarterbacks we watched on Sunday night when the Bears played the Texans. Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud each will turn 23 over the next couple months. Back to what you came for, and I'm so glad you've made it this far. After a week off, Rutgers is headed to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech this Saturday at 2:30 on the ACC Network. I'm not entirely sure how many schools are in the FBS, but the 190 rushing yards allowed per game by the Hokies this season ranks 21 spots from the very bottom. Oof. The Scarlet Knights, meanwhile, rank fourth in the country, churning out over 300 yards per game on the ground so far this season. Starting tailback, Kyle Manungai is averaging over 8 yards per carry. I'm expecting him to help get this segment back on track and cover the 3.5 points we're getting from the book. Back to you guys.
And Joe, we would never fade you. At least I would, and I can't speak for Dan.
I might cut him down the preamble a little bit, but you know, get to the pick already, Joe.
Manungai, we had a good look at him last year in the Wildcats season opener against Rutgers, and now he's become one of the top running backs in all college football. I mean, he's
tough.
He's really tough. So, but the Cats will face another good back this week, Jonah Coleman of Washington, another transfer. So a big challenge for them as they go up against the Huskies, but they I know they're feeling good about it and where they are going into this 2-1. They're a game ahead of their pace from a year ago, and let's see how it goes. It'll be interesting to watch, and we'll get together not next week, but in 2 weeks before the home Big Ten opener against Indiana. Many thanks to Aiden Hubbard for jumping on with us. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. And don't forget, you'll hear the game Saturday. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff Chicago time, and we have the pregame starting at 5:30 on WGN Radio. Dan, have a great week. We'll talk to you in two.
Absolutely. Should be fun this weekend.
All right. That's it for Collegiately Speaking. I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.